Amen. Today we are continuing. This is actually the last message in a series that I've entitled "Praying a New Story," and this is out of the old story in the Bible of Nehemiah. And today the message is about remembering. So Nehemiah's prayer to God about remembering him, and that God would honor him by remembering him. And so we're going to look at that in the passage today. The chapter in that old story is chapter 13 that I'm going to be speaking out of today. Let me say again how glad I am that you're here. I know we've got some folks that are enjoying a fall break, and so it's always good to have times in the year where we can relax and get away and allow the Lord to refresh us and to renew us. And it's also good to get back home, isn't it? And so some that have been out of town, it's good to see you again today and to welcome you back here, back home. And so may the Lord bless you today, and may you be with those that are away from us, and bring us back together again next week as we worship together. You know, in the Bible, we always talk about church. You know, what is church? Where in the Bible is the word church? And it's not found in many places. Jesus talks about the church, and he says that on this rock, he says this to Peter. And when Peter proclaims who Jesus is, Jesus says, "Peter, you're right. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it." And that's a great promise to the church of Jesus. But the church, that old word, it communicates this truth of a people called out and called together. And so when we gather on Sundays, it's not so much a part of our tradition or our habit, although those are true, but it's a part of who we are. We're a peculiar people because we are called out and called together. And even this morning, in some way, the Lord was at work calling this group of people together, calling us out, calling us away from the things that we might would have preferred to be doing, or called us away from things that perhaps even we had scheduled to do. He has called us together for this time and this place and for purpose, called the people together. And so we are the church this morning. Next Sunday, the church here will look a little different probably. But this morning, I'm glad that you're here, a part of the people who have been called together by the Lord. We've gotten to the end of Nehemiah's story. Now, it begins, this story, it begins with Nehemiah's people in great trouble and disgrace. That's how these people are described. Now, this is an old, ancient people. And in those days, they had been attacked by outside forces that had come in and taken over and had taken away a group of people. They called them exiles, and they had taken them to a faraway place. But they left some people in Jerusalem, in this area of what today is Israel or Palestine. And so these people that remained were described this way in the very first chapter of the story, of being in great trouble and disgraced. And I don't know if you remember us talking about it, that first way of praying a new story is an honest kind of praying that comes from a people that knows what it feels like to be in some trouble and knows what it feels like even sometimes to be disgraced. And it leads us to a kind of honest praying where we really open up our hearts to the Lord and have an honest conversation with him and allow the Lord to work in us. A part of that honest conversation is always, it always involves confession. Why is that? Why is it that God always talks about confession? Are we really that messed up and that bad that we need to be confessing? Well, what I want to say is this, that God is God and we are not. And in a way, our humanity, and yes, our sin, separates us from God. So there is a divide there that exists between us and God. And of course, Jesus, we teach and believe that Jesus spanned that gap by his sacrificial life and his sacrificial love and his sacrificial death. Jesus spans that gap between us and God that sin brings in place. But also, confession helps us to see us for ourselves, for who we really are. Confession is our way of owning who we are in terms of our humanity, our sinfulness, our failings. And so this people who were troubled and disgraced got to a place where confession became important in their story and in the new story that God was writing for their life. Nehemiah comes to terms with what had brought about the trouble and disgrace. It was his and the people's disobedience to God that had brought about this trouble and disgrace. They had lived with and been comfortable with the sin in their lives for a long time. Now some of us, and you know, I've got to say that this sounds familiar to me, to my life. I can get real comfortable with sin in my life. And sometimes disobedience. It doesn't have to be like gross immorality, but just sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes just kind of arrogance. Sometimes I just think I'm right. And that just becomes it predominates my life and my thinking. And there needs to come a time where I own up to that and I confess that and I deal honestly with God about it. And so the people had become, I become comfortable with those kinds of things, and the people in the story had become comfortable with the sin that had kind of taken over their lives and their families and their histories. They had just not seen a need to own up to anything and to confess it before God, as if there was no need for them to come together with God and let confession be that thing that brings them to God. Because what God wants more than anything else, I think, is our honest hearts. He doesn't want us to come to him with a lot of holiness or kind of self-righteousness or a religious kind of posturing before him. He doesn't necessarily want us to clean things up before we come to him. What he really wants is for us to be honest with him and say, Lord, this is who I am. I'm not trying to clean myself up or make me out to be somebody I'm not. This is who I am. And it's taken me most of my life to really understand who I am. But I just come to you as I am, Lord, in honesty and in confession. I can't fix myself. I've tried. I've even turned to other people and other things to try to fix things, and I can't, Lord. I just come to you in honest confession. I can't be comfortable with my life anymore as it is. And so that's where these people were. They could not be comfortable anymore with their sin and with the things that surrounded them. Honest praying and confession, where this people deals honestly with their sin, it begins to change their heart, and that's the way the story reads. You begin to read about a people whose hearts begin to change as they turn back toward God. Their hearts changed, and what that heart change meant was that they could not continue living the way that they had been living. They could not continue surrounding themselves with the same kind of mess and rubble that they had been surrounding themselves with, that they had honestly gotten accustomed to. And a lot of times in our life with the Lord, we get comfortable and accustomed to really mess that doesn't honor the Lord. The Lord hasn't authored it. We've introduced it. We've embraced it. We've justified it and rationalized it. But what it really ends up being in our lives is nothing but mess, because it messes our lives up. It messes us up. And when God began to change the heart, they could no longer be comfortable with the mess. And so Nehemiah and the people, because their hearts began to change, began to address the mess. And they took the rubble, the real rubble, the real rocks and stones and the stuff that they had been a part of an old wall. They took that actual stuff, cleared it out of the way, and began to do the work of rebuilding real walls and restoring the city is essentially what they did. They put the gates back in place. They rebuilt the gates that had been burnt down, and they began to rebuild and refurbish and restore the walls. Not so much the walls that divide, but the walls that protect and that help. And so the people, when their hearts began to change, they began to deal with the mess that they had become comfortable with. The story of getting right with God led a people from being in great trouble and distress in chapter 1 to being a rejoicing people in chapter 13. Do you remember that? We talked about that last week, that these people became a rejoicing people, a people from who had been in great distress, great trouble. Now the Lord had worked in their hearts and worked in their lives and worked in their surroundings so that they became a rejoicing people. And they rejoiced so loud. They were raucous in their rejoicing and in their worship, that their worship and their praise of God could be heard for miles. Far away, it could be heard. They could not be quieted. They could not be silent. They lifted up a praise to God and rejoiced in Him. This people who had been surrounded by mess, who had nothing but rubble, they were in great trouble and disgrace. God wrote a new story for their lives. God worked in their lives and changed their hearts, and they turned to Him in confession, and He carried them through this journey of rebuilding and brought them to a place where they became not a people in great trouble, but a rejoicing people with great rejoicing. The city now was restored, and they rejoiced, but they were also rejoicing because their hearts had been turned back to God. And perhaps you've experienced that when that moment comes and you know God is calling you to turn back to Him, and you determine in your own heart, now is the time to do that, things change. There's rejoicing that comes in when you finally let go and let God have your life, and you turn back to Him, or you turn to Him, there is great rejoicing. Turning back to God, whether it's turning to Him again or turning to Him for the first time, that's where a great story begins of coming back to God. Now, I have to tell you, though the people's hearts were changed and they did the work of restoring the city, there were still some adjustments. That's the word I want to use. Some adjustments that continued as the people came back to God. When the journey began, the need at the beginning was for confession of sins, owning up to our sins. There was the need for cleansing of disobedience and cleaning up the results of it. You know, sometimes out of our disobedience, there are some consequences. There's, you know, people get hurt or offended, or there's collateral damage that comes from our sin and disobedience. And so when we come to the Lord in confession, there's cleansing that comes, but there's also the Lord has got some cleaning up to do. And sometimes that means that we've got to own up to it, and there may be a need for us to seek forgiveness from other people or to seek to remedy some of the damage that we've done. Sometimes we can't fix the damage. And so the Lord has to do a work that's beyond us. But a part of that adjustment is that we realize that when we come to the Lord in honesty, owning up to our sin or disobedience, there's cleansing, and there's also a cleaning up of the results. And the people in this story did that. But along the way, there are adjustments that God wanted to make in the people as He was bringing them back to Him. Now, if you read the story of Nehemiah, the specific adjustments that God wanted to make in Nehemiah's story Honestly, they don't necessarily translate well into our time and place today. But I can tell you that confession is just the beginning to God being able to write a new story for us. As we step along with God's Spirit, now remember, that's what Paul speaks about in Galatians. He says, walk in step with the Spirit. And so as we walk in step with God's Spirit, beginning with confession, God begins to take our willing and honest hearts, and He leads us to the next place where He wants to work. God might have been working in your life recently. Maybe it's a new and fresh work, and praise the Lord for that. But I want to tell you that God wants to continue to lead you and work in your life, that though He's worked in your life right here where you are at this particular point in time in your life, I want to tell you there's the next place that God wants to take you to. He wants to work in your life, and He wants to do some work, and He'll take you to the next place that He wants to work. Sometimes, and this sounds so, it's hard to believe, but I think that it can be true, that sometimes in people's religious experience, simply that first step of receiving Christ in a Baptist church and kind of in an old school way, it's people coming down at the end of a worship service and accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, making what used to be called a public profession of faith in Christ. It's hard to believe that when somebody took that step of obedience toward the Lord, that they never took another step after that. That all that they got, all that they wanted from the Lord was just, Lord, save me. But I want to tell you that the Lord wants to continue to lead us beyond that moment of salvation, that encounter with Him that saves us, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants to lead us beyond that place to some other places where He wants to make some adjustments in our lives. And that same willingness to be honest and open to Him that confession requires, that same openness and honesty is necessary for us to continue to take that next step with the Lord and continue to walk with Him. As we step along with God's Spirit, it begins with confession. But God takes our willing and honest hearts and leads us to the next place where He wants to work. You may be ready for God to write a new story for you. I want to tell you, you can pretty much be sure that it's going to need and require confession. Just an open and honest conversation with God. Lord, this is who I am. This is where I'm at in my life. I recognize my limits. I recognize how disappointments have hurt me. I recognize my failings. I recognize, Lord, my arrogance. I recognize these things, Lord, and I own up to them. And I come to You and I give them to You in confession. God can begin in a heart like that, a heart that is ready and willing to be open and honest with Him. As confession begins, God begins to lead us to the next step or to the next place where He wants to work in our lives. And our open and honest heart before God must be willing to be led by God to that next place. So let me show you in Nehemiah's story how that worked. In chapter 1, Nehemiah begins with a prayer of confession. Okay, I've already mentioned that. Owning up to his sin and to the sins of his people. God leads Nehemiah and the people to rebuild the city walls and gates, and they do. Okay, continuing on. God presents to the people in this old story of Nehemiah. He does this afresh. He presents to the people His word through Ezra, and Ezra was the religious leader of the people. As the people gather, they're called to gather, Ezra dusts off the words of God, and he reads them to the people publicly. As Nehemiah and the people are reminded of God's word, they are faced with a choice. Do we pay attention to God's word and align our lives to God's word? Or do we ignore God and just live our own way. For the people, as God's word was read and heard, God began to lead the people to the next place where he wanted to work in them. And so in chapter 13, Nehemiah and the people begin to respond to that adjustment that God wants to make, and they begin to align their lives to God's word. And so listen to several examples of how they aligned their lives to God's word and to the adjustments that God wanted to make in them as a people, as kind of the next thing after a confession. So if you're following along in the Bible, it's chapter 13, and so this first passage I'm going to read is verse 12 through 14. And again, listen out for the adjustment that the people responded to. All Judah brought the tithes of grain and new wine and olive oil into the storehouses. I put Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe and a Levite named Pedaiah in charge of the storerooms and made Hanan son of Zakur and the son of Mattaniah their assistant because they were considered trustworthy. They were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their fellow Levites. Now, to kind of sum that up, basically what Nehemiah is saying is that we got right with the Lord in terms of our giving. We began to bring back to the Lord the things that belong to the Lord. And so I put some people in place to help manage the gifts that the people were bringing. And so verse 14 is Nehemiah's prayer. He says, "Remember me for this, my God, and do not blot out what I have so faithfully done for the house of God and its services." So you can see here that the people were beginning to respond to God in obedience. It's like the Lord, they confessed their sins and the Lord began to work in their hearts, but the Lord wanted to take them to the next place. And the next place that the Lord wanted to work in them was to say, y'all have not been bringing to me the things that belong to me. And so you've got to begin to be open and honest with me, the Lord says, and begin to respond to me and align your lives with what my word says. Bring back to me the stuff that belongs to me. And let's see where we can go from there. And so then Nehemiah's prayer is simply this: Lord, remember me for this. Remember me for the fact that we're working to try to align our lives with you and with your word. So then there's another part of this chapter that gives a little bit of the next place the Lord wanted to work in the people. And that's in verse 20, if you're following along. Once or twice, the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem. But I warned them and said, "Why do you spend the night by the wall? If you do this again, I will arrest you." From that time on, they no longer came on the Sabbath. Verse 22, "Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy." And then his prayer again is this: "Remember me, Lord, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love." Again, the Lord wanted to take them to another place where he could work and call his people to make the adjustments in their lives that he wanted to make. This particular area was in the area of the Lord's Sabbath and what the Lord required of his people related to Sabbath. And Sabbath was that day of rest and that day of worship. And what was happening is there were merchants and sellers that were coming and kind of camping out outside the city. And they were creating a scenario where on the Sabbath day, the people were dishonoring the Sabbath because the merchants and the sellers were there. And Nehemiah said, "I'm not going to have any of it. Y'all got to go. Because the Sabbath day is not for selling and buying. The Sabbath day is not for you, for us to live our lives like every other day. The Sabbath day is God's gift to us to rest and to focus on him. And so you've got to go, sellers and merchants, because we're aligning our lives with the Lord." And that was the next place the Lord wanted to take his people to make adjustments in their lives. And just like it began with confession, where they owned their sin, the Lord said, "I've got so much more that I want to do in your life. Go with me and let me write a new story for you as a people." And I think the Lord says the same thing to us today. Come to me in confession. Don't be so comfortable with the mess that you live around. that you lose sight of me and my word and my love for you. Confess your sins to me. Have your hearts open and honest to me. But listen, the Lord says, I've got more that I want to do in your life than just hear your confession. I need your confession, but I want to do much more in your life. And so go with me, because I've got another place I want to take you to. And I've got some more adjusting that I want to do in your life, and my word will help to bring about that adjustment as long as your heart is open and honest and willing. It may be that some of these examples in this old story kind of speak to us in our own hearts today. I'll tell you, that's not because of the preacher, that's because of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and grabs hold of us, and that word is conviction. The Lord convicts us and convicts our hearts. Well, this prayer of remembering is a prayer of saying, Lord, I'm responding to you. I'm aligning my life to you, Lord, and so remember me, honor me, bless me, show me your favor, Lord. I'll give you one more example out of this old story, and this will be the last one. In verse 30, if you're following along, it says this. Nehemiah says, so I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. Verse 31, I also made provision for contributions of wood and designated times and for the first fruits. And then this prayer, remember me, Lord, and show your favor. Remember me with favor, O Lord. This has to do with the spiritual leaders. And Nehemiah was encouraging and calling for the spiritual leaders to align themselves to God and God's word and God's ways. That same thing is true, folks, especially for people that love the Lord. And it starts right here with me. But I'm not the only spiritual leader in this place. And in some ways, we might not consider ourselves a spiritual leader, but in some ways, hear me, I think the Lord wants to say, come and go with me and let me work in your life and see how I can develop and cultivate you and see how you'll go from someone that never even thought about themselves as a spiritual leader to let me lead you and work in you and grow you up in Christ, and you become someone who is now my spiritual leader in a group. Not so much that you become a pastor or, you know, a Bible teacher or anything like that, but that our own spiritual lives are so in tune with the Lord that the Lord uses us in terms of how we are in relationships with people and how we encourage and influence people. These examples in this old story might not apply to us. It's a long time ago, and they had a certain way of their religious lives being lived out and how they lived out their lives in community. I'll say this, I believe God's word to us is different today because of Jesus Christ. I think Jesus Christ changes everything. Not just our own lives, but he changes the way we live. He changes the way that we worship. He changes the way that we love. And so God's word to us is different because of Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfills the law. God's instruction that we learn about through Jesus is still very much our authority and calls on us, hear me, to align our lives to Jesus Christ and to His Word. Just like Nehemiah and his people, this final prayer can only really be prayed when we have aligned our lives in obedience to God's word that we know in Jesus Christ. Asking for God to remember, to honor, to bless us is an appropriate way to pray. But we put ourselves in a position to receive God's honor and blessing through our obedience and faithfulness to God. The people's responsiveness to God in Nehemiah's day was what led them to rebuild the walls of the city. But their obedience day after day is what brought them God's blessings. And so it is with us. God's new story for us becomes reality when we seek to follow Him in obedience day by day. Remember us with favor, O Lord, as we follow You each day in obedience and in faithfulness. Would you pray with me? Lord, how are you speaking to your people today? How is it that through worship and through praise and prayer and your word that is alive and active, how is it, Lord, that you are feeding your people today? Church, are we hungry and thirsty for the Lord more and more in our lives? Do we desire for the Lord to write a new story for us? Might we be willing today to begin that new story with Him, with open and honest hearts, an open and honest conversation that begins with confession? Lord, this is who I am. You know me. You know my limits. You know my sin. You know my hang-ups and my hurts and my habits. You know me, Lord. But I want to begin today a new story. I'm ready to move on with you. And so I want to begin with confession. But I also know, Lord, that you want to lead me beyond that to begin to work in my life and lead me from one place to the next place. And as we walk together with you, Lord, you'll work in us and help us to align our lives with your word, that we can live in obedience and faithfulness to you, Lord, out of good hearts that love you. And so today, might you work in your people that are gathered in this place that you've called together. Might you work in us, Lord, to write a new story, not that gives us a great life, but a new story for us that honors and glorifies you, where our lives, in a way, become a demonstration of your power, O Lord, expressed through our lives day by day. And so, Lord, we don't know the next step with you, but we are willing to take it, Lord, to walk in step with your Spirit. And so you speak, Lord, and might we listen, and might we be ready to step with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen.